Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Boy, you talk about a good week to talk with Scott Pianowski. Well, every week is a good week for Scott to join us from Yahoo Sports for fantasy football. But, man, there is a ton of stuff going on with quarterbacks and fantasy implications this week. So let's go to the Western Hotline. Scott is joining us. Good morning, Mr. Pianowski. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
I'm good, but it's the guy across the board, the table from me, who's got all the fantasy stuff going on.
Yeah, Scott, I was just going to run something by you here. You know, you're in some guillotine leagues, right?
I'm familiar with the format, but okay. I've actually never played in it.
Oh, okay, good. Well, let me get you in one of those soon. but one thing I wanted to run by you, you're familiar with the format. You know, Tuesdays are where people put in their blind bids, right? It's just like the waiver process, like any other waiver process, but with much bigger players that become available because you get blue chip guys that are on the market. And I was kind of having a thought about it where the waiver process in a guillotine league is the only thing, I think, left in fantasy football where you really struggle to find numbers or analytics on it, if you know what I mean, right? If I want to do a trade, I can go to a website and do a trade analyzer. If I want to see an auction price, his average draft position, all these things are kind of rolled in, and since every guillotine league has a different experience, it gets really hard to figure out how much should I bid on James Conner? How much should I bid on Larry Fitzgerald when there are 16 other teams and there really isn't any sort of outlet to say, you know, X number of dollars is the right number for this guy. It's definitely a unique format and presents a whole nother level of stress and challenge.
Yeah, and that's why I'm definitely in favor of hybrid formats, of playing in different formats. My version of that is I like drafting early before ADPs crystallize, before it's very clear what roles are going to be, before there's a lot of definition that sets into the league. So I really like drafting after. I don't draft before the NFL drafts. I think it's just a little bit too crazy to speculate where rookies might go. But I think I can connect dots quicker in June or in July than maybe the average player, and I want to take advantage of that. Now, the flip side is obviously some players will get hurt in the summer or situations will change. You know, Andrew Luck retired pretty much out of semi out of nowhere anyway. There's a little bit of hint to that. But I'm willing to accept that because it's uncharted territory. And it sounds like with these guillotine leagues, and again, I can't speak from any experience with them, but I'm very much in favor of hybrid formats. I think DFS is a great alternative. Mm-hmm. You've been absolutely ruined by injuries. You know, you can pick a healthy team every week if you play DFS, and then you just abandon it at the end of the week. Best ball is a great format to go into if you don't want extra maintenance, but you want the fun of another team. So let's play different formats. There's a lot of different ways to get engaged. You can just get in a old-fashioned pick'em pool with your office or whatever, then you have a stake in every game. So I'm in favor of all of these different things.
What do you make of the changing of the guard, not just at any one team, but all over the league at quarterback, whether it's the Giants, the Steelers, the Colts, the Saints, the
Jags,
Jaguars.
There's so many.
You know, quarterback is often a position that people can kind of, you know, jump in and out of no problem. But you've got really big players, whether it's Christian McCaffrey now no longer dealing with Cam Newton, Kamara doesn't have Breeze, yeah. Barkley doesn't have Manning. You've got a lot of upheaval from the quarterbacks that run some of the offenses that are very big in leagues.
Yeah, I actually did a check engine light where I wrote up every quarterback situation on Yahoo. I think that came out Tuesday night, so check on that if you need a status check. A guy I'm really interested to watch is Kyle Allen in Carolina, and the reason why is because everybody saw the Panthers played on Thursday night last week, and Cam looks hurt, and he's a guy who running has been part of a staple of his fantasy value and his gravitas as a quarterback. I'm not sure how much he can do that anymore, and he's really never been a great pocket passer. As inexperienced as Allen is and as unsure of a thing he is, I just think at this point Carolina is better off playing with a healthy quarterback, whoever he is, than playing with an injured Cam Newton. So if you have a chance to get in a little bit depressed price on DJ Moore or Curtis Samuel, I think it's a good time to get in on those guys. And Greg Olsen's in a really good spot, I think, against an Arizona defense. He's just been giving it away to the tight end. Hawkinson went ballistic on them in week one. They couldn't handle Mark Andrews in week two. Very good players. But, you know, Olsen, when he's healthy, is still a Pro Bowl caliber player as well. So I think it's a great week for Olsen. I'm not going to give up on these Carolina receivers. The tricky thing about New Orleans is we know Sean Payton loves Taysom. I mean, find somebody who loves you as much as Sean Payton loves Taysom Hill.
Yep.
We're not really sure who their quarterback is. It could be both guys. They could get packages. They could get series. They could be on the field at the same time together. My gut, my spidey sense on this is telling me that Hill is actually going to be the primary guy and maybe even the full-fledged starter. Remember, he's in his late 20s. I mean, he's somebody whose life has gone in a lot of different directions, but the Saints seem to be enamored with him. I'm not sure Bridgewater has that much of an upside. So Hill would be the guy I'm speculating on there. And I'm really interested to see what becomes of the Steelers, where, again, you know, a hurt Roethlisberger, you know, he played very poorly in week one, injured early in week two. Rudolph went early enough in the draft that I have a little bit of optimism for him. I'm not giving up on Juju. If you could trade Sammy Watkins for Juju Smith-Schuster, not everybody agrees with this, I would still take Juju. I'm still optimistic Connor can be a top 15 running back, maybe top 12. I know that's not exactly where you drafted him, but I don't think Connor's going to fall off the face of the earth. Now, if you don't want to get invested in any of these new situations, but you do need quarterback help, maybe you don't trust Jameis Winston, maybe you have any number of the guys who are hurt, Andy Dalton, I know he's playing Buffalo this week, and that's a bad matchup. The Bills have a great defense. The Bengals have a really bad offensive line. They're struggling to run the ball. When your offensive line stinks, you need to mask it in the passing game. That's where you have more of a chance. I think the Bengals are going to be a very reliable volume passing game. I like Tyler Boyd. They finally unlocked Ross. I don't know when they'll get Green back. That's been pushed back for the timetable, and injury optimism is generally not your friend in fantasy, so I don't know if Green will be a part of this, but I think Zach Taylor was a good hire. I think Dalton probably struggles against the Bills' defense. They're one of the defenses I try to avoid. And so I can't guarantee you Dalton will be great this week, but I think there's going to be a lot of volume in this passing game. If you've been screwed at quarterback, Kirk Cousins we can't trust because they don't want to throw the ball at all. They want to win with rushing and defense. Again, Winston, I don't want to go near right now the way he's playing. Even a guy like Kyler Murray, where's the rushing? He ran for 1,000 yards last year. Was he at like 17 this year? Andy Dalton could be a very interesting pivot. Maybe not week three, but I think long-term he's going to be a reliable quarterback.
I was curious about Kyler Murray. I wanted to ask you about the rookie quarterback since Daniel Jones is now getting the start with the Giants. How has Murray been from a fantasy standpoint through 2 weeks? He's getting passing yards, and what do you think of Daniel Jones from a fantasy play standpoint?
Man, Jones is a really tricky call, right? I mean, he goes sixth in the draft. It felt like the Giants were the only team that saw him as that glittering of a prospect, but then he played really well in preseason, and I know people poo-poo it. It's preseason, it's vanilla defenses, but when somebody plays as well as he did to the outlier performance that he posted, I think that might mean something. I like that he got changed over so quickly. I thought this was going to probably be a midseason change. I thought they'd give Eli kind of the benefit of the legacy doubt, but they're not doing that. Week three change, and even though Tampa Bay's defense is a little bit improved, I think Jones has a chance to be viable this week. Obviously, he can dump off the ball to Barkley. Evan Ingram, who finished last season very strong, looks like one of the right answers this year at tight end. You hope you have Ingram, and, man, you certainly hope that you have Mark Andrews, who's just going crazy. It doesn't have to be a this year's George Kittle, but if there is one, it's Mark Andrews. Man, am I high on him. I think Jones has a chance. I'm encouraged by what he did in the preseason. It was an outlier to such a level that I think we have to take it seriously. I'm sorry, you asked me a second part of the question. I don't remember what it was.
Just about Kyler Murray and how he's doing so far.
Kyler Murray, sure. Yeah, you know, you like the volume. You like the pace. They're getting extra snaps every week. That's good. I thought he was certainly nervous in that first week, but then he just kind of let it fly in the fourth quarter. It was terrific. Still a lot of receiving talent here. Larry Fitzgerald at age 36 still cranking it out. We were worried about Christian Kirk in the preseason. I was really high on him maybe in June or July. I backed off a little bit in August, but he's actually been fine. They got David Johnson going in the passing game in week one. They moved away from it in week two, in part because David Johnson was dinged up in that game. But I think having David Johnson involved in the passing game is something they need to do. Johnson had more air yards as a receiver in week one than he did all of last season, which is really a condemnation on the previous coaching staff. I'm just surprised Murray hasn't run that much because, you know, the athlete that he is, the speed that he has, I thought we'd see some of that Michael Vick, Lamar Jackson was like, oh my God, this guy's too fast for the game. He's going to break it. he's been actually more patient and more looking to throw the ball downfield, probably good for his long-term prognosis, but it's not fantasy friendly because we thought maybe he'd be running for 30 to 50 yards every week. Hasn't happened yet. Bottom line, he's ownable. He's under the cut line for me. He's not a top 12 quarterback for me right now. I need to see a little bit more consistency. They need to get in the end zone more. So I thought maybe he, if you told me he had this volume after 2 weeks, I'd think like, oh my God, he's going bonkers. He hasn't really done that. To me, he's more of a reactive fantasy guy to own right now than a proactive one.
All right, before I let you go, the Bills could be really kind to you these days, right? Josh Allen's stock, I would assume, is going up a little bit. John Brown's off to a good fantasy start, right?
Yeah, Brown looks great with the volume. When a receiver goes to a new team, you wonder how quickly the acclimation process will take, but that hasn't been a problem. You know, it's funny. I mean, I start warming up to Zay Jones and Robert Foster at the end of last season. Foster can't get on the field.
Right.
Jones is hardly being used. And I guess that speaks to the things that Brown's doing and how he connects with Allen. I'd like to see Allen a little bit smarter with the scramble. Sometimes he's just so reckless and he's fearless, and you like that. But you need him long term. I mean, most teams just don't have a great backup, and I don't want to see him get hurt. I really think the Bills, it's well set up for them to be in the playoffs. We know Miami's terrible. Everything's gone wrong for the Jets. So the division sets up nicely. Maybe you can steal one of the New England games. This reminds me a lot of that Buffalo team 2 years ago that went to the playoffs. So right now I think they're a playoff team. And Frank Gore, you know, usually a 36-year-old running back, I'd be running for the hills. I know we've talked a lot about Singletary positively, and I still think he's a great player when he's healthy. Right now he may not be. Projectable volume is your best friend in fantasy football at the running back position. And I think right now we have to put Frank Gore on double-digit touches every week. That's a currency. He's got a home game this week. He's about a 6-point favorite. When you're looking for your running backs to play, you want to be tied to a favorite. You want your running back running the ball late in games, maybe killing the clock, salting the game away. I thought Frank Gore was going to be on my ignore list all season. He's actually a top 25 running back, wow. Maybe even a top 20 running back in week 3.
Sports.yahoo.com is where you want to go to read all the stories, including the checklist. What'd you refer to it as, that you wrote Tuesday night?
Yeah, check engine light.
Check engine light.
Every quarterback in the NFL. A quick hit on every one of them, basically a tweet-length comment. And by the way, if you want to follow me on Twitter, Scott_Pianowski.
That was my next plug. Okay, Scott, thank you. Thanks again for your time, and good luck with all your fantasy teams this weekend.
Thanks, guys. Go Bills.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.